Greetings, loyalists and heretics. Welcome to Iron and Ceremony, where we once again enter the warp without an astropath.
Hello, welcome to the Iron and Ceramite podcast. We are entering the warp without an astropath, as normal. Again, this week, John is still not with us because we definitely don't film this on the same day. My background has changed, as has Dave's. All of our clothes are different, even though they may look remarkably similar. That is not the case. This is an entirely separate and disparate podcast. And today we're going to talk about some of the rumors, outright leaks and new content that's coming out from DW on all of our favorite sources like Warhammer Community or Warcom, as it tends to be abbreviated to, Warhammer Plus and the YouTubes. So we'll just dive straight into it. And first up is something that came out the other day. It's probably a week or so ago now. This is quite a low res image for those watching.
Okay, it's not just mine.
No. This is incredibly low res. But it is the behind the Ceramite, the making of the armoring of a Space Marine video on the Warhammer community. So this came out on YouTube first. So it was an official Warhammer release on YouTube. But it was just interesting because obviously a lot of their animation content at the moment has been going on Warhammer Plus. This was something that went direct to YouTube first. So I think it is on Warhammer Plus as well, but it was actually made freely available on YouTube. And it's just a single Space Marine. You can see he's a Primaris Intercessor getting armored up to go down and no doubt drop down onto some heretical world to bring the Emperor's justice. It was about 5 minutes long, and I can't help but think that if this is the process that every Space Marine goes through to get into their kit, it's incredibly inefficient. But then I think in the lore, they end up staying in their power armor for weeks, months, years at a time before they take it off again. So maybe that's how they get around the inefficiency. But there we go. Did anyone actually...
I thought the exact same thing. When I watched it, I was like, how on earth... Are they going to get this? Is sudden thing? Oh, you've got to go and take on this planet all of a sudden, like sort of how you had in the Blood Angels thing, where they were like, all of a sudden, oh, we need to go down there and get sorted. So like, just wait, like give us an hour. We need to get our makeup on.
it's not exactly rapid response. The other thing is this is one dude getting ready in a temple, and if you look at his markings, he's not even a sergeant or anything like that. It's not like there's a change in mode. So how much space must it take to even get like a 10-man squad ready to go?
And they're not even bringing any relics or anything out, like all the good stuff that your sergeants and your just captains are going to have.
Lapping powder.
I was more thinking this is, you know, when like companies do like publicity videos of like, oh, this is the way we do things, and then like Steve and Dave in the, you know, the back of the warehouse just smashing shit together, and that's not how they actually do things. That's just like the propaganda of, ooh, look, Space Marine being all, and then, yeah, they're just like, yeah, fucking get that on, get the boot on, yeah, I'm ready to go. Bit of oil, yeah, there we go, and then off to battle. That's my thinking behind it, because yeah, it's a bit of a long-winded ass process to get one dude into some armor.
Yeah, as I said, it was pretty good animation as animations go.
It was very good. Yeah, it was good.
But yeah, very, very long-winded and ceremonial in its approach.
It was the quality of the animation is what I want from all Warhammer Plus videos. And what I've been nagging throughout is that the quality of the videos isn't great. And I sort of feel that, like, I don't know, it's a bit, again, I'm quite cynical, but it's a bit of a cheeky move, I think, because a lot of people are going to be going, oh, wow, is this the sort of stuff we're going to get on Warhammer Plus? And then they get it open, they get that like shitty hammer and bolt of fucking video.
I dare you.
And yeah, well, the animation on them has been poor. The storylines, not too bad. The animation's been poor.
South Park has run for 20 fucking seasons.
And the animation shit on that, but the comedy's good.
Yeah, so it's the quality. No, the comedy's not good either. But it's the quality of the... you got to think of it as basically an extension of Black Library. It's there to tell the stories. The animation is just the medium. I don't mind the animation. What?
Might as well just buy a book then. Technically, I would have thought we're paying for the animations as well, considering we're paying monthly, right?
Well, yeah, you are. But there's loads of different styles of the animation. Like, we know the noir type one that's going to be, that was like announced for the next one.
Is that the Inquisitor one? Is that the Inquisitor one?
I think it is an Inquisitor one, yeah. Like, to me, that's not my style. I really like the Hammer and Bolter style. Angels of Death was okay, interesting. And the X-Men type-based one is very early 2000s computer game, is what it makes me, is what it reminds me of. But all of them have all been very different, and that's kicked off. I can't realistically fault the animation. Just because you don't like the style does not make it bad.
Yeah, okay. I'll take that point.
I think it's bad. I'll be completely honest. I know we're not paying that much money for it, and I do want to support them. Obviously, it's the beginning of what they're doing. For my taste, I don't think any of the animation's been up to scratch for a company with the amount of money that they've got. The storylines are still good because, like Glenn said, if it is a sort of an extension of Black Library, and Black Library tells some really good stories, so you would expect that. But I think they really do need to ramp it up, not just the amount that they're putting out, but the quality. And not necessarily in the Hammer and Bolter, because I do take Glenn's point with that. It's supposed to be a different style, maybe. But even for me, in a different style, it was way too juddery. I couldn't follow it and actually look at it like it was a cohesive animation, because it was so juddery, stop-starting. Maybe it's just not the style for me. But yeah, I think they've got to really improve. Otherwise, I may get rid of it. But that's just personal opinion, I suppose.
I think John agrees with Glenn as well, because I think he likes that style of animation, because it's a bit more, I don't know, a bit anime-leaning, possibly.
It's American anime, which I don't mind either. So what I was going to ask, there's two questions I was going to ask. The first one is more to what you've just said, Tom. Let's say there was lots more of it. Do you think that would make it better, even if the style was still as it, like, you know, it's not necessarily, because for me, I think it's release frequency. I think it's been, I don't mind the animation as much, but I just haven't, there hasn't been enough of it quickly enough.
Yeah, I think I could get behind one or the other. I think if they put out what they're putting out very slowly and it was exceptional, flawless animation, I'd be happy. If they put out a lot more and it was the quality of it, what it is now, a lot more, I would still be happy, because they're doing something either way. Do you know what I mean? There's still stuff to watch if there's a lot more coming out, or it's exceptional stuff when it does come out the other way. But it's sort of not here nor there at the moment for me. It's sort of a bit, I know it might be a transition period, but then you would have expected, just my opinion, a company this big, when they're going into a venture like this, to have prepared for that before they put it out. But, you know, I love Warhammer and all Black Library stuff, so I'm going to stick with it for this year at least, and just, fingers crossed, hopefully it gets a little bit better, which I think it will by the sounds of it.
You do understand, though, right, that Games Workshop don't make them.
But if they're going to put their name behind it and they're going to get the profits, then
guys that do the animation are a team, an independent team. The guys that do the voices are another independent team. The guys that do the credits are another independent team. The guys that do the soundtrack are another independent team. I find this out.
That's not very cohesive, but I think.
I spoke to someone recently, and yeah, it was eye opening, the work behind getting them on screen. So I'm prepared to cut them a lot more slack than I was. Yeah, I was sort of like, yeah, nothing else this week. But that's just the animations. I think everyone's getting caught up about the fact that there isn't enough animations, but there's other content that comes around with that. Like, who among us have even looked at the vault of the back issues?
I have, but I only because you last pointed out to. I think the last time we talked about this, you pointed out, and then I dived into it. There's a lot of amazing stuff in there.
So much shit in there. I'm guilty myself. I've not watched the Battle Report yet. I've watched a couple of Lore Master videos. Unsurprisingly, I've not watched any of the painting videos. But, you know, there is something new every week just because it's not for you.
Yeah.
That way.
Yeah, I do agree. And I think the Battle Reports have been really good. I think that, but again, you're getting sort of one a week. For me, I don't know. Maybe it's just I'm getting caught up in this whole Warhammer TV streaming service. You're sort of expecting it to be on the level of other streaming services. And I think that's probably where, I don't know, I'm coming a bit unstuck, really. Because you see, Warhammer TV, why the fuck haven't you got like a Netflix-style playlist of everything yet? And obviously, you don't, I wouldn't say you don't pay too far different for the same sort of thing. But like you say, there's a lot of different content in there. Maybe we are getting too caught up with the TV style thing and the actual shows rather than all the other bits and bobs that go with it. But I mean, the quality of the battle reports has been really good, just as good as a lot of the other actual YouTube battle report sort of channels that are out there. And the Lore Master videos are pretty good as well. But I don't know, I just really want a few more good actual animations, because like I say, Hammerbolt was just not for me. The Exodite seems to be going in the right direction.
I think for me, I mean, just to touch it one last time and then I'll stop moaning, but it's the overall quality of some of the things Games Workshop does, because you look at their miniatures, I can't fault them. Most of them, I cannot fault the way they, I know that that's their, you know, that's their meat and gravy, whatever you want to call it, but they're perfect. They're magnificently sculpted. They're really cool poses, a lot of them. They're hardly ever any faults with them now. And they're just flawless. But everything else you go into, you've got the Games Workshop app, which I still use and could be great, but it's not great and there's tons of bugs on it all the time. It's just if everything across the board has just had a little bit more quality control on it, not necessarily saying it's Games Workshop that do it themselves, but whoever they put it out to, they just don't seem to be overseeing the other stuff away from the tabletop as well as they do with the tabletop stuff. I just wish it would just a little bit more quality, and then I'd be more than happy to pay my five measly pounds a month for it. But yeah, I think Glenn makes and you, Shane, make a good point that there are other stuff on there that's just maybe I'm not looking into too much.
And we're now within touching distance of our free models as well.
Yes.
Are we, Shane?
I don't know. I can't remember. When it turns up, I'll get it. It's fine.
About a month, month and a half away, maybe.
Is it a month and a half? Oh, okay.
It's been delayed.
Well, yeah, we'll see. Okay, so moving on to another, from one low res image to another low res image.
What's he doing when he made this?
I'm not going to be there this week. They can have all this shit.
Maybe he'd forgotten what topic we were going to do. It was just like, just stick some stuff in there. They'll talk about it. Yeah. But we've got some Griblies, some of the bigger Griblies in this one as well. Is that a Carnifex? I don't know anymore. I can only remember the old Carnifex.
Yeah, it's Carnifex.
And the Tyranid Warrior, or is that a Tyrant?
That's a Tyranid Warrior. Well, that's actually a Tyranid Prime, by the looks of it, because of the shoulder pad type things.
Fair enough. And I can't tell you what swarm that is. Is that Leviathan?
It's Leviathan.
Can't tell you? I did tell you. More wounds, more attacks, more carnage. Tyranid monsters are evolving. I guess this was pre-leaks. What's happening then, Glenn?
Pretty much everything from Carnifexes, Trigons, Tyrannifexes, all the big Griblies are getting pretty much summed up there. More wounds, more attacks. Better weapons.
Are the Gene Stealers going to be as good as Gene Stealer Cult's Gene Stealers?
No.
Really?
No. They're better than the existing ones in the Codex now, but they're just not as good as the pure strains in the Gene Stealer Cult.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Any reason as to why? Or?
I'm not actually sure.
I'm sure they'll...
Do you mean stats-wise or lore-wise?
That as in why? Yeah, law wise, or is there any reason why they're not at least?
I'm sure you could fudge it law wise, right? Like as in the pure strain gene stealers that go out and seed the world. You know, they have to be.
Yeah, but you've also got the fact that these gene stealers that are on the planet with all the rest of the Terrans have come specifically from the Hive fleet as is. But
yeah, but maybe because they just churn them out, so they're like a copy of a copy.
Yeah, it's like a McDonald's burger versus a Five Guys burger.
Yes,
it's good, and then there's mass produced. Some of the big Griblies I've got like ridiculous. I think it's the Morlock has something stupid like 14 attacks now. And most of the big things as well have gone from weapon skill 4 to weapon skill 3.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Big
thing. That is big.
You actually have more weapons than I thought when I played against you. That wouldn't happen for your termagants, though, would it? Surely.
Huh?
It wouldn't happen.
I think the termagants are still BS4.
They were bloody deadly against me, to be honest. I didn't expect that.
But you you keep them near the thing that I've forgotten off. Again.
Yeah, the Ran effects, wasn't it?
No, the Ran effects is the big shooty one.
Termavant or
Turvigan.
Turvigan. Yeah.
In the end.
So just keep that near. Plus, you've got all of the various synapse shenanigans that you can chain across the battlefield. So you can have like a 12-inch bubble, a 12-inch bubble overlapping, and a 12-inch bubble overlapping. Anything in that 12-inch bubble can get buffed by the thing in the original 12-inch bubble. So you can add, because you've got synapse in loads of things, you can spread it out. So it's like having your ability to go, oh, my captain's giving me rerolls to 1, but because I have a lieutenant there and a librarian over there, and you can sort of chain it across to this unit that's sort of halfway across the board and go, oh yeah, they're getting rerolls there.
So it makes your first couple of turns pretty punchy because you can have it across the army, basically.
Well, plus you've also got, you know, like flying tyrants and stuff like that, so you can zip across. They've gone up to like 18-inch move or something stupid like that now, so... Yeah, and their weapons are getting a bit of a buff, strength and AP wise and stuff like that as well, because that was against John, Dave, and Tom. I was running a flying tyrant with its fancy Reaper blade, something or other. I can't remember the name of it, which doubled damage on a 6, plus 1 damage for the Warlord trait, plus 1 damage for the Toxin Sack. So it was doing 8 damage on a 6, but it was only AP minus 2. So everybody was just going, nah, saved it, nah, 4, 4 up, 5 up, and it was just like, ah, piss. And then it came off a couple of times against John and just went, so yeah, that was just quite satisfying, and I hope that relic's in the new codex as well. But yeah, there's a lot of... I actually seen the list last night of all the rules for the weapons, because it's out there now. And yeah, some of them are, a lot of them have got quite a bit better, because either they were lacking in AP or damage. And a lot of the funkier stuff now at least has a respectable AP. And even some of the basic stuff, like the rending claws on Steelers and Ravelers and stuff like that, now is like minus 3. Instead of relying on that 6s to get the minus 4, it's just a straight minus 3. So
it's pretty punchy.
They're going to be tearing through stuff.
What about? Yeah. Oh, sorry, go ahead, Tom.
No, I just said yeah. We'll see.
Have they made any changes to the Lictor? Because that used to be one of my favourite models when I first got into the hobby. I loved it.
I've not seen the Lictor's data sheet.
Okay, fair enough.
I think they're around about the same points, so they've probably not changed a massive amount.
Yeah.
And weapons-wise that they used to have, yeah, it'll have got a little bit better, but not hugely better. I need to see sort of like the special rules of that, because I've only seen about 5 or 6 data sheets of random things, and then like I say, the weapons profiles and the points costs.
Okay, fair enough.
So,
is there any more sort of pin bonus coming in for the Tyranids? Because on the game that we played, I sort of things I was expecting to have in bombs didn't seem to. Is that something that's just because it was an older codex, or
I think they're going round that this time with just giving more wounds.
Fair enough. Yeah.
I think Carnifex is probably still around about the same wounds, but like some of the bigger things, like the then take the Tyrannifex against you, the giant walking thing with the huge gun.
No.
I think it's up to like 18 wounds now or something stupid like that. So at toughness 7. So that's going to be, you know, all right, no infun, but it's going to take a fair amount to bring that down. That's going to be like a dedicated anti-tank unit shooting at that to bring it down. Don't know what all the various strategies and you know, high fleet specific stuff, if there'll be shenanigans for invulns. I think units of zone probes can give stuff an invuln save if they're close by. That's one of the things you can move around. And one of the things I do like the sound of is, you know, Marines have got their chapter tactics. All the high fleets have their own, but now because they're adaptable, you can see what your opponent's playing and you have an alternate version of each high fleet's thing as well. So yeah, some of them sound quite good, but some of them are same as all chapter tactics. You look at some of them and go, yeah, it's a bit shit. But yeah, I really want to get my hands on the codex to properly dissect it, because it's only so much
even more Tyranids.
Yes, Pyrovores, definitely. They are disgusting.
Am I right in thinking Hive Guard has got worse?
Yeah. They're not bad by any stretch of the imagination, but they're not as good as they were.
Indirect fire being a bit nerfed, or
is that gone?
Yeah, it's. No, they still got that, but you need to have line of sight from a synapse creature.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
You know, it's... Yeah. I'm not that fussed on them because I don't have any and I didn't plan on getting any. So, yeah. Don't give a toss about them. It's all about the stuff that I do have or that I want to get. Anything else is just... Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, next up. This is the FAQ. So there was an FAQ that's come in. Two different things, I think. The one of that artwork is supposed to be Abaddon on the left, and that's from the Nachmund Gauntlet. There are no, surprisingly enough, there are no Chaos Space Marine FAQs, good or bad. There are some Tau ones, though, that have come out, but I'm... Assuming, Dave, like the rest of us, you very rarely look at the FAQs.
So no, I did actually have a look at these. Okay. And then thought, I don't know what the fuck any of this means, because I don't know the new codex well enough. I did see that there's some changes as to how I was playing it already, because they've got a couple of philosophies of war. And Montcar, which is one of the philosophies, gives you... you can basically move in advance and count as having remained stationary.
Yeah,
so a lot of people were firing marker lights, moving and advancing, and then because they remained stationary, didn't foul the action. So we're having marker lights, then moving, then advancing, and
then doing action.
Actually, you can't do that. So that's been cleared up. So I did that against John. That's
disgusting.
Shame. But yeah, which because the way I read it, we even sat down and we said, look, this is the way it reads.
Yeah.
And it's giving you that you can't really argue because of the way that it reads. It's sort of that, but they literally specifically said no. So
rules as written versus so in rules this, as intended.
Yeah. So
was it one of those responses where they didn't give like a nice big paragraph? They just basically went, no.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. I like it when they do that.
which makes sense. It does make sense. It makes it. Yeah, it's a bit, because when I first saw that, I was like, oh, that's good. And then I was like, yeah, it's a bit too good. And then there's a few other bits and bobs where it's just clearing out, really, which I think is needed, because I wouldn't say that the Tau Codex is broken. I think that it is very strong. It's definitely one of the stronger codexes. But I think it just needed a bit of clearing up, because a lot of people were using it. For example, I think there was one where a railgun causes a mortal wound, and they've done it for in addition. So if it scored a wound, it would cause a mortal wound, whether you saved it or what. And they've changed that slightly. So, So there's a few bits and bobs like that that have changed, but I don't think it's going to be anything too bad. I think it's still a very, very strong codex, and it's just cleared things up more than anything that would being probably used to have a bit more of an unfair advantage.
In fairness, that mortal wound thing on a real gun, that's an easy one to forgive, because there is a lot of weapons out there that do a mortal wound in addition to.
Yeah.
If you do a wound, or if you get a hit on a six or whatever, you know, so that's a forgivable one for people to not necessarily abuse, but mistake.
Yeah.
Or cheat.
I still can't find any FAQs for that bodyguard rule, which is one that me and John discussed. I can't remember. I think it was his death guard. It might have been against you, Dave.
Yeah.
Where he had...
We hid them behind a wall. I couldn't see them. And he had the bloody... I can't remember who had Lord of Contagion or some...
A demon prince.
Smelly. Yeah, demon prince.
Big demon prince that you couldn't shoot.
Yeah. Out in the open. And then he's got three bodyguards hiding behind some some cover that he had, I couldn't see. And that's ended up what really helped him win the game, because he got into combat and... Tau Dan like being in combat. So,
especially not against smelly demon princes.
No, and especially not the fire warriors as well. But I can't remember what the FAQs were about that, but I think the general thing is that is an unfair advantage to just hide a unit rather than taking the wounds on that unit. So I don't know. We probably should look into that, so I can fall victim to it again.
There is, they haven't FAQ'd it yet, so it is still rules as written. It's okay to do that, even if it is very gamey.
Yeah, tactically he had a really good game.
Yeah,
but that really, really annoyed me.
When
I've got a broadside staring at a demon prince, I'm thinking this railgun's going to go straight in your face, and he's like, no.
Anyway, I'm sure they'll get around to it. Or they won't. We'll see.
Or they won't, yeah.
At the moment, that's...
It'll be like the Chaos Marines. Just leave it. String it on. Marines.
They'll get their codex and then they'll get their two wounds. But as I said, it doesn't matter now anyway, because all weapons do two damage and AP is whatever. So, you know, it didn't make any odds. That's what I'll keep saying. And we move from low def to high def with one of the two combat patrols that John's got to talk about. These were announced a while ago, I think, but they have now come out for order. So you've got the Thousand Suns Combat Patrol, which is taken over from the old Stark collecting boxes. If you guys remember those, before we had the combat patrols, they had the Stark collecting, which would give you a number of points. The difference here is in here you get a load of Zangors. I think you get 20 odd Zangors, five Scarab Occult Terminators, and an Infernal Master. And that Infernal Master, at the moment, you can only get this model in the Combat Patrol. So, you know, as swings and roundabouts, I think I prefer the old Stark collecting box. Which included that you didn't get Scarab Occult, you got what did you get? You got your standard Marines, some Zangors, and then you got Ahriman on disc. So that was what the original start collecting was. So they've swapped out Ahriman for the Infernal Master. They've taken out your Marines and replaced them with Zangors, and they've given you some Scarab Occult Terminators. So, you know, it's probably still the same points-wise. I just like getting the character in the original start collecting versus this one. But it is an exclusive model, and that is the only way you can get it.
Is that it's the nice model as well. Is that the Infernal Master that was in the Grey Knights? Is it Hexfire? It is.
The same one from Hexfire. Yep, that's it. So, yeah, quite correct. You could get it in Hexfire. Now you can get it in the Combat Patrol. And speaking of which,
cracking model.
I've looked at it and I've been like, do I want to run one? Because I've got like loads of different sorcerers that I could use as a proxy, but this model is very nice. I'm sure they will release him as a single model at some point, or maybe a different sculpt for the same unit, as this may stay in exclusive. But it is a pretty nice model.
I found it's the old Star Collector box. That was, I believe, the only Star Collector box to come with a named character.
I think you're right, because a lot of the the other ones didn't.
No, you can probably run multiple sorcerers. You can't run two Ahrimans, but in fairness, you probably also wouldn't run two of those combat patrol boxes because that's a lot of goat men.
I mean, I've got 15 of them, and that's too many. Zangors are weird. You kind of, for them to be an effective unit on the battlefield to actually do anything other than get killed, you need them in 20. But why would you ever commit that many points to a unit of Zangors when you can put it into your Marines or your Terminators? You just wouldn't.
I mean, what, two or three Zangors for a single rubric? Rubric is going to be more durable. Two wounds plus one for armor save for low damage weapon. You know, they're going to survive. Zangors are just going to die.
They are going to die, and they got low morale, so they're going to run as well. They're not very good. The old Zangors, I'm afraid, and they haven't got any better with the latest codex, because as you said, like your rubric marine with their all this dust rule, plus they don't fail morale, like you don't ever have to take morale with them, and then the various other psychic shenanigans, because the Zangors don't have any of that.
I'm pretty surprised how, you know, just a bit meh they are, because I remember we're talking a couple of years ago now, but you could not get your hands on Zangors because they were so popular. I don't know what the army lists were at the time or what the meta was for them, but you just could not get your hands on them. Whereas now, it's a really odd choice because normally things that didn't sell particularly well go into combat patrol boxes.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know.
I know for a fact they've sold really well in the past. Yeah, everybody wants some Terminators. Yeah. And that model is just fantastic.
Do you think with the combat patrols they're sort of leaning away from any old shit in a box, and it's more
because I've seen some of the combat patrols.
Yeah, good point.
There's always at least a unit in there where you kind of go, what the fuck, you know. So
I think at a glance, a box like this to somebody who's going to start collecting something looks quite sort of balanced. If you haven't ever played with them before, you think, so they would sort of be like cultist Marines, and then you've got some Terminators, and you've got a character. So it looks, you know, visually quite appealing, I'd imagine, until obviously, like Shane's actually played with them. They're wank. These aren't as good as these. And, you know, I think they'll still probably sell quite well, because, like you say, that's an awesome looking character as well.
Yeah. You would, if you know the Thousand Sons, you'd buy this for the Terminators and the character. If you were starting an army, exactly as Tom says, you'd be like, right, great, I've got 26 models here. That's a nice little, you know, there's enough models for me to move around. You play with it the first time and go, shit, I need to get a box of Rubrik Marines, but that's what GW wants you to do.
Course, so yeah.
It's probably a perfect box in that regard.
What was in the Hexfire box?
The Hexfire box, it was definitely the Terminators and the Infernal Master. I don't know if they had any Zangors. I'm just going to have a quick look, because I don't think there was any. There may have been Zangors.
Because I'm just thinking, is this... I'm pretty sure it's not like just a replication of the two individual halves.
No, it's not. So you had less Zangors, but you also had a Zangor Shaman.
Oh, okay.
Which are still pretty good, because they've got like a bow and arrow thing that does, but it can't miss.
In 40k, fucking bow and arrow.
It's a magic bow and arrow.
Yeah, it ignores lookouts there as well, doesn't
yeah.
it, I think.
Yeah, yeah. So you can't miss with it. Ignores lookouts there. Pretty weak, but it's always going to give you that hit. And they're still quite popular, the old Zangor on disc. But yeah, basically...
They're Psyker as well.
He is a Psyker. The rest of the Zangors aren't. So yeah, you had your five Scarab Occult Terminators, your Infernal Master, a Zangor on disc, and then 10 Zangor running around. That was Hexfire. But on the other side of Hexfire, the other combat patrol box is the Grey Knights. And this is pretty much the other half of Hexfire, almost exactly. So this isn't too different to the Hexfire. I think the only difference is that you get less... So I think in Hexfire you had 10 Marines and no Terminators, whereas I think in this one you've got 5 Terminators and 5 Marines. But you've also got your... What's his name? Crow?
Kessellan Crow.
Although, is he in the box? Because I don't know if he's actually in the box.
I know, it's a librarian, I think.
Yeah. So he's not in the box.
Nope.
But is a separate model. It's very cool. It's a very cool model. But in the combat patrol for the Grey Knights, so again, only 12 miniatures, but one of them is the Dread Knight.
Which you pretty much can't get hands on.
Exactly.
That's what they've all gone. They're gone to the combat patrol boxes.
Very hard to get hold of.
Rocking horse shit.
Yes. I've never run one, so I don't know if they're any good. Like, I've never even looked at their data sheet, but they seem like a must take.
Yeah, they pretty much are, and have always been in almost every Grey Knight Codex. They're just dirty, especially considering you can put a Grandmaster, so essentially the Chapter Master, in one of them. And you can imagine he's quite potent.
Yeah, I'd imagine he's pretty good in all three phases, right? You can do his psychic, mind bullets.
Yeah, in fairness, with that combat patrol, I would prefer it if they dropped the price a little bit and put more strikes in there as opposed to the Terminators, because the strikes are they're better. They're not as durable, but you get more of them for the points, and their damage output is just ridiculous.
So if you, like, for example, if you're a new player, you buy this.
Yeah.
The next thing you go and buy is another box of 5, right? Because you're like, actually, they're really good. I'm going to get 5 more.
Yeah, probably.
Or do they come in boxes of 10?
I think you can buy them in 5s and 10s.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Oh, you used to be able to buy them in 5s. You might only be able to buy them in 10s now. But it's the same sprue, doubled up. But I will say that about the Grey Knight sprue, you get so much stuff on those sprues. You can build them whatever way you want with every weapon going. It is ridiculous the amount that they've piled onto those sprues. But,
What happened to your Green Knights?
They're sitting back there somewhere. If I hadn't bought a buttload of Tyranids like a couple of weeks ago, this would probably excite me more. But yeah, no, I can't
do it.
I just can't.
Yeah, out of the two boxes, even though I said I play Thousand Suns, out of the two boxes, I like the look of this one more. If I was just into the miniatures, this would be the one that I would pick. Obviously, as a Thousand Sun player, I've got whatever I need, but I like the models in here. I think they're just all round. This seems like a better combat patrol box.
I'm the other way around. I like the look of the Thousand Suns one, even though I'm more of a Grey Knight.
Just buy them for each other.
Well, and pin them up and exchange, because you ain't never getting no pins.
That won't ever happen.
Yeah.
Am I the only one who hates the bloody Dreadknight, though? I think it just looks ridiculous.
You don't like him?
No, not at all. Not one bit. It looks like a
Maltese cross and some chains hanging off it. Would that be all right?
Yeah, then it's the best model I've ever seen. But it just looks stupid to me. It's the same as the
Invicta Warsuit.
The Invictus Warsuit doesn't look as bad because I get in sort of Avatar. Yeah, because I've got one. And because I get like Avatar vibe from that as well.
It's the power loader from Alien, so.
And it's the Sisters of Battle. They're bloody similar things. I can't remember what they're called. But
not the Penitent Engines.
No, the Penitent Engines are cool.
You mean the smaller... Yeah, I know which ones you mean.
When they've got like the tiny little head and you can see the little arms, but then like the big legs. With what's her name? One of the High Lords is in it.
Morgan
Bow. Yeah. Those ones.
I realize that's a person riding a thing. That's not a person with tiny head.
I'm aware of that, yeah. But that's why I think it looks ridiculous. No.
Yeah. A lot of people made the same criticism whenever they first brought out the Centurions, because it was Space Marines in Space Marines. I will admit, the Dreadknight is starting to show its age. It's not the most dynamic of models, unless you really put the effort into converting it. And I've seen some really amazing ones where it's been like running and they've managed to make the arms of the guy in the baby walker. His arm is swinging in the same way as the sword is swinging and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, if you're willing to put the time into it, they're cool models, but they are quite a rigid and starting to show their age model. That model's been around for, I don't know, 15 years now, maybe somewhere around that mark.
Yeah. Well, so it just reminds me of the Don't Talk to Me and My Son Ever Again meme, where you've got his son, he's just towering over his son. He's like a little baby in a papoose, so it just ruins it for me. I just don't like the model.
That's fair. Fair criticism. What do you think about Castellan? Yeah, Castellan Crow, though. He's quite Templar-y, right?
He's far too big.
Oh, really? I suppose he's not Primaris, is he?
He's fucking bigger than a Primaris Marine.
But he's not Primaris, is he?
He is not Primaris. There is no Primaris... Grey Knights at all.
Ooh, which was that?
The warp did it. No. I think I'm going to say a designer maybe got his scale a bit wrong, or maybe started designing it for a Primaris and they went, no, we're not putting them in the Codex. I don't know. It's just, I don't know. Because even, you know, he's not even. You can't even make the argument that he's wearing like Primaris armor, because you look at the knee pads and stuff like that. None of them is Primaris shaped, but he's fucking massive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice model, though.
I don't like it. I don't know. Do you know what? I think it's just the way the bolters are mounted on his right arm that makes me think that looks stupid. Like, he's going to break his fist when he tries to shoot. I know he's a Space Marine, but look, it's right over his arm. He can't even get anything in his hand or hold anything. It's literally right over his fist. But the rest of the model's okay. I just don't like that particular part. Do you not think? Look at it.
It's obviously...
I think he looks all right.
At the back. Yeah, it's fine.
A real mixed bag here for the combat patrols.
Variety. As soon as the camera goes off, I go, yeah, really good.
Whenever you see like a 360 of the model, I will admit that angle doesn't really do him justice. But like when you see the whole thing, yeah, he looks cool. It's like that Blood Angels Heresy character jumping off the little rock.
Oh yeah,
with the metal foot. He looked shit whenever I first seen a picture of him. But I seen him up at Warhammer World, and I was like, yeah, it's a very nice model.
You know,
sometimes it is the actual picture of the model.
Yeah. I think the helmeted version of him looks a lot better. I saw somebody put, like, I think he's got a beaky on. I think that's one of the options making of it. And it looked so much better. And his clubbed foot was painted just red, like his normal armor, instead of being silver and standing out. And like you said, you could have it in armor anyway. And it looked so much better, just them two little changes. It was just them two things that was putting me off of the whole model. So it's not a bad model, really.
Yeah, sometimes it's a paint job. Sometimes it's as simple as a camera angle. And it's enough to make you go, oh. But no, he's cooked.
Massive. He would make a good Templar conversion.
It's all about the Templars, Kieran.
And Tau now, and Necrons.
Calm down, Dave.
Your army would fucking melt if you put him on the table as a converted Templar.
No, they'd like the Grey Knights.
You tend not to like psychers too well.
No, that's true. They're the Grey Knights are the only ones they trust, aren't they? In the lore, because they're like chosen.
It's got a chaos powered blade.
Yeah, but they're chosen by the Emperor, so they're the ones they trust. I'm sure it is in the lore. You all give me dodgy looks, but I'm sure that they trust the Grey Knights.
You're doing a John and just making up shit in your codex again.
Yeah. See this page at the back that was originally blank.
Yeah. Wipe clean. It's got Dave's lore in it.
Great night's good.
Anyway, that was everything from the update that the week that was, or probably the month that was Warhammer and everything that was coming out from a Warhammer community point of view. Thank you for joining us as we went through that. We'll see you again next month. In totally different clothes and backgrounds, because we definitely don't film these back to back, and this was definitely a total separate one from the last one you watched. But you can find us everywhere where Iron and Ceramite is. You can just Google it, you can Instagram it, you can Facebook it, you can search it on Twitter. We are of course on YouTube, all podcast providers, Twitch, Patreon. If you're buying any of your hobby supplies, use our link on Element Games. And of course, fancy playing against us, we do play, we do have a clan on combat cards. Again, you can search Iron and Ceramite anywhere, find our content, find out what we're up to. More than happy to engage and have a chat. Otherwise, that's it. And that will be Exterminatus.
As always, we would like to thank you for listening to our Iron and Ceramite podcast. If you liked us, then you can also find us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and any other good podcast services. Just remember, in the grim darkness of the far future, there is only war.